The research was conducted by the Professional Services Council, a group of government contractors, and Grant Thornton. Interviewers gathered input from 40 leaders across government, senior acquisition managers, congressional staffers, OMB officials, and academics. The report's subtitle is An Unabated Crisis, and it's a fair summary of the findings as a whole. Respondents worried about an undersized and overworked acquisition workforce, the prospect that coming budget cuts won't be made sensibly, and an ongoing war between acquisition professionals and government auditors. Stan Soloway is president of the Professional Services Council, which has been conducting the survey since 2002. He says perhaps the most troubling reality is how constant those complaints have been over time.
We were struck not just by the fairly clear consistency of the concerns they have, but by the fact that a number of the key issues, in fact, the most critical issues being raised by the respondents, were effectively the same issues that have been being raised by respondents for the full 10 years we've been doing this study. If you're asking a similar group of people the same question for 10 years, and the answer keeps coming back pretty much the same for those 10 years, I think it's a pretty fair conclusion that whatever you've been doing in the interim to try to address the problems they raised 10 years ago isn't working.
Indeed, with respect to the size and capability of the acquisition workforce, in spite of dedicated financial resources from Congress and a fair degree of lip service about making improvements, 71% of respondents said things have actually gotten worse over the last 2 years. One major challenge is pure and simple demographics. Acquisition leaders say their most experienced people are getting very close to retirement, and the bench that's in line to fill their shoes is fairly shallow. Soloway says the problem is especially acute in the IT field.
According to the Office of Personnel Management Statistics, the information technology workforce in government has a 7-to-1 ratio of people over 50 versus under 30. Some 36 or 37,000 over 50 and only about 5,000 under 30. Put that together what we found in this survey, and it suggests that it's time for a really, really serious, sustained relook and re-strategizing about how we're developing a really, really critical government workforce.
As to the quality of the workforce, the survey found that training opportunities through organizations like the Defense Acquisition University and Federal Acquisition Institute have become more abundant, but leaders said acquisition expertise isn't just about training. It's also about experience and mentorship. Those mentorship opportunities are declining as experienced people get promoted or retire. And Grant Thornton's Phil Kanga says it's left managers wanting for several critical skills in their workforces.
We asked about how prepared the workforce was on negotiation, how prepared they were for the potential for coming sequestration. We asked about complex IT acquisitions. And almost to a skill set, if we looked at them in terms of the imbalance, there was clearly a recognized need for those skills and an under capacity for those skills, or a lack of capacity for those skills. So there's clearly issues related to how prepared the government is on those fronts.
Another key challenge is the cutthroat competition for the skills agencies need in their acquisition workforces. Part of the issue is that some of the major competencies that are critical to a lot of acquisition jobs, like systems engineering, are in short supply across the economy. But the study's authors say in government, the issue is not so much that private industry is luring people out of the civil service, it's that agencies are fighting for a limited pool of talent amongst themselves. Alan Shvatkin is PSC's vice president.
That's the real challenge in the acquisition workforce. The agencies are waiting for someone else to do the training and then using grade increases and other inducements to get them to move from one agency to the other. It's more intra-governmental than it is between government and folks moving to the outside.
The Army's contracting command is but one example of that exact phenomenon. Major General Camille Nichols, ACC's commanding general, made the decision last month to close the command's Washington, D.C. contracting office. She tells Federal News Radio it turned out the office was training contracting officers just so they could move to other agencies in pursuit of higher pay.
We had great folks, but they couldn't compete in the National Capital Region to retain all that talent. So we have a great training program, an intern program, so much so that some of the other services have told me that they don't actually, in some locations, do a training program because they just wait and hire our guys away. So in a place like the National Capital Region, where there are many, many federal agencies that need contracting professionals, it was very difficult to retain our best. It was very difficult to retain people after we had tutored and trained them, and they've got some experience.
Acquisition leaders in Washington are also deeply concerned about the state of the federal budget. Both the fact that the government seems to be in the perpetual management challenge of continuing resolutions and the prevailing notion that even if sequestration doesn't occur, cuts to the civilian workforce are a near certainty. The government went through a wave of what are now widely regarded as unwise cuts to the acquisition workforce in the 1990s. But PSC's Soloway says there's widespread concern that those lessons have already been forgotten.
We know the cuts are coming. The question is, are they going to be made strategically or not? Rather than just saying all aspects or all categories of the workforce are going to take the same reduction, which was what largely happened, particularly at DOD in the 90s, where we had the significant budget reductions and about a one-third reduction in the overall infrastructure of the department. The acquisition community took it as hard as any, I mean, everybody kind of took it the same. But I think in hindsight and thinking about it more strategically, you might not have cut every area equally because some areas are going to be of diminishing importance and other areas are going to be of growing importance. And if you look at sort of the technology base and you look at the technology requirements and you realize that increasing portions of the discretionary budget are going to go to procure technology solutions of a variety of kinds, well, that means you need to protect and enhance your technology and your acquisition workforces because they're going to be the most central. So how do you apply that? And that's not normally the way it's done in government because government tends to be very egalitarian in how it approaches these things. I think the lesson of the 90s that the folks responding to this survey were talking about is that may be the way we've done it in the past. We can't afford to do that anymore.
The report also concludes government contracting experts are growing increasingly frustrated with the sense that they spend more time responding to various overseers, OMB, GAO, inspectors general, and other auditors, than they do performing their actual mission. PSC says oversight is valuable, but it blames the government audit community for creating a climate of zero risk tolerance in government contracting.
When we talk about compliance, it's not just the overworking of the workforce with non-value-added requirements. It's the message it sends to your workforce when compliance becomes sometimes more important than the outcomes. You know, we don't measure on outcomes relative to a program effectiveness. We typically measure it on process adherence. You really need to listen to what these four dozen or three dozen experienced acquisition people are saying is, we don't have the right cultural, systemic, or process strategy right now. We have people who are afraid to do critical thinking and are being increasingly wrapped around rigid, often non-value-added oversight. And it goes back to something Bill Cohen said in 1998 when he was the Secretary of Defense in the face of some acquisition issues at DOD, and he said, I don't want people being worried about being fired for making a mistake. I want them worried about pursuing innovation.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.